Hey guys, I'm at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Come with me on pilgrimage someday. Right behind me is where Mary appeared to Juan Diego and told him to gather roses to give them to his bishop. Appeared to a guy who in the eyes of the world was an absolute nobody to change the world. By the way, if you feel like a nobody, if you feel insignificant, if you feel unimportant, you're in good company. Literally every Marian apparition was delivered to somebody who was a nobody in the eyes of this world in order to change the world. And maybe if you want to change the world, pay attention to that. And Jesus says, he who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. I want to walk up this hill with you right now and just talk about the apparition of Guadalupe, what it means, and how to humble yourself so that you could be a world changer. In 1519, Cortez landed in Mexico. He found a very advanced civilization that had been here for 8,000 years before Columbus got here, and a very religious civilization, which is not surprising, because every culture in history has been inherently religious until about 5 minutes ago. Why is that? Catechism of the Catholic Church sums it up beautifully, that public worship doesn't just fulfill divine law, but natural law. That is the law written on the human heart. See, it's justice, it's natural justice. When you find yourself surrounded by gifts you didn't create, to say, where did this all come from? And to whom should I return a sacrifice of thanksgiving? All right, so this is what people have done throughout history, and this is miraculous and beautiful, largely in the same way. See, Cortez found temples and altars here where sacrifices were offered. Sorry, it's raining a bit. Guys, if you go to Hawaii, you find temples and altars. If you go to Greece, you find ruins with temples and altars. Not only have people worshipped, but in the same way, by offering a portion of our life back to the God who's the source of it all. How cool is that? And I think God was preparing in this natural law response to getting to exist of altars and sacrifices. He was preparing the world, check this out, for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The only place where a living sacrifice, unbloodied and perfect, continues to this day. Whoa. But guys, as beautiful as that culture was and inherently religious and well-formed, they were also profoundly evil because human evil had worked its way into what natural justice had led them to do. And so their sacrifices, wrongly guided, were human sacrifices. About 20,000 a year, and there was one Aztec feast where about 80,000 people were offered in 4 days' time. If you've seen Apocalypto, it accurately describes what those sacrifices looked like. They would pierce the person in the solar plexus, reach in, grab their heart, show it to them while they were still alive, and offer to their sun god. Now, it is not Eurocentric to say Christianity is better than that. It's just factual to say Christianity is better than that. Unless you like to rewind and everybody go back to that. Yeah, I don't think so. Okay? I don't care how woke you are. You don't want to see those times come back. But let me tell you what else is evil. Colonialism. And the way that they responded to that was just wrong. How cool this little pathway up to the top. This is the way that Juan Diego went to the top of the hill to gather those roses. Cool to have you with me. I apologize if I get out of breath. I don't usually give reflections while walking uphill. But the way they responded to the sacrifices was to tear down Aztec temples and use the stones to build churches. One can imagine that didn't go over too well with the local people. It started revolts. So, guys, this is a time where terror took hold, where there was revolts politically, where there was still human sacrifice going on. It was a scary time. And when you experience that much division, the natural question is, dude, what are we going to do? How do you fix this? We need a miracle. Well, that's exactly what God did. He stepped into human history. 1531. Mary appears to a humble man, a nothing, a nobody in the eyes of the world. Juan Diego was a humble farmer, a widower whose his wife died. He came to the Lord at an older age. He was 46, which back then was pretty dang old. Not anymore. Shut up. I'm going to be 50. Hallelujah. Anyway, she appears to this guy as a nobody in the eyes of the world, humble farmer, widower, late convert, not educated. And she says, Juan, go to the bishop, tell him I love these people, and to have a church built in my honor. His response was naturally, really? Because look, you're going to go to the bishop and tell him to build a cathedral? Nowadays, you better come with $20 million in your hands. Juan Diego had nothing. And he described this to Our Lady, basically saying, you got the wrong guy, Mary. He said, I am the tail end, a leaf, a small rope. He was trying to dig for images of things that seemed like relatively nothing. The beautiful rainy view of this city is kind of cool. Yeah, it's a gorgeous place. I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. As if that was gonna scare Mary away. No, no, no. That's precisely what got the response from heaven. You're the right guy. Right? What's up, guys? What's up, fellow pilgrims? Loving the rain. It's getting a little intense. Oh, hallelujah. You're the right guy, Juan. You are the right guy. You feel like a nobody? Listen, you are the right guy. Dude, in rain or sun, our videos continue. It's another one of our proud pilgrims. She said, Juan, go up that hillside, collect roses, bring them to your bishop. So Juan Diego obeyed Our Lady, went to the bishop. Bishop's response naturally was, yeah, I'm going to need a little more than your word. How about a miracle? Come back with a miracle, then I'll believe you. So Juan Diego, the next day, he's going home. As a prophet who doesn't want to be chosen, he picks a different route home. He literally didn't want to see this vision of Mary again. Didn't want to be bothered. She appears to him on his way. And he was trying to get around her also because he was so stressed out because his uncle was sick and he needed to get his uncle help. And Mary appears with the most beautiful message of any apparition, I think, in history. She says to him, listen. And by the way, I want you to hear this. I think she's saying this to you right now. Listen, put it into your heart, my youngest and dearest son. The thing that disturbs you, the thing that afflicts you is nothing. Do not let your countenance or your heart be disturbed. Do not fear this sickness or anything that is sharp or hurtful. Okay, here's a culture that watched sharp, hurtful things all the time. Am I not here? I who am your mother. Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle and the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Let nothing else disturb you. Guys, thinking of that message, by the way, quick tangent, makes me so dang happy to be a Catholic. By the way, I'm at the top of the hill where he got those roses. Dude, I love our Protestant brothers and sisters who convert. Often their biggest obstacle is Mary. My biggest obstacle, if I was going the other way, would be losing Mary. We need a heavenly mom. Humans love the image of a mama. Well, we got one. Hallelujah. I love being a Catholic. So he obeys Mary's message, goes to the top of the hill, gathers the roses, the hill where I'm standing right now, gathers the roses, brings them to his bishop. There's miracle number one. Roses are not supposed to be growing in December, but they were. Miracle number two, he drops his cloak to present the bishop these roses to say, hey, look, this was all legit. And an image appears right in the cloak, right in front of the bishop. And here's the beauty, guys. Mary was not only correcting the Aztec false religion, she was also correcting the colonizers who mercilessly smashed people. So appearing as an Aztec, she also had Aztec imagery. She was in front of the sun, which was a symbol of their most powerful god, and on top of the moon, a symbol of another one of their powerful gods. And yet her head was bowed. So she was saying, I'm greater than these, and yet there's one who's greater than me. She was wearing a color that was reserved for like a goddess of life. And she was pregnant. With the Aztec imagery of a sash, it showed that she was a mother who was gonna give birth soon. And guys, the result was miraculous. 10 million conversions in 10 years. The largest mass conversion in all of human history. It gave rise to the merging of the indigenous people and the Spaniards, which gave rise to a new culture, a new people, the Mexican people. That's why there's one atheist Mexican author who joked that you don't have to believe in God to be a Mexican, but you have to believe in Our Lady of Guadalupe. How cool is that? And the miracle of Our Lady of Guadalupe continues to this day. Guys, the cactus fiber that image appeared on, those usually disintegrate within about 30 years. It's been 500 years. It's still there. They've done studies on the paint. It's not any known paint or any known substance on this earth that produced the colors on the Telma. Whoa. It was also shown that it's more like a projection than a painting, because they've studied under infrared. There's not a single, check this out, let this sink in, not a single stroke of a paintbrush in that image. So when you go see that image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I'm gonna show you it at the end of this video, you're literally seeing a projection that's still happening from heaven. In 1791, ammonia was spilled on it, made a hole in the image, it healed itself. That doesn't happen, well, it did. In 1921, a terrorist put a bomb in front of it that literally bent back a bunch of the bronzes behind it, but the image was completely untouched. It didn't hurt the image at all. And that sign of Our Lady's presence is still here today. Okay, a few takeaways from this that I want to drive home. Number one, guys, Jesus is the solution to all the problems this world faces, all the division, everything. It's not your favorite political party. I mean, I'm not saying that politics is unimportant, but it's a relative importance. The ultimate fix to the problems that we're facing as a world is Jesus Christ. Be an evangelist before you are anything else. Share him before you make it your priority to share anything else. So that's number one, Jesus is Lord, proclaim him first. Number two, don't be afraid. Look, I know there's a lot of things that scare you in the world today, just like there were in Juan Diego's day. So many divisions, so much danger, so much like, where's the world going? But also in your personal life, maybe you're having a health scare, maybe you're having a marriage scare that leaves you feeling like you're facing your most fundamental fear, which is being alone. And the Lord says, don't worry about your body, don't worry about your life. See, when a child is afraid, a child is not looking for solutions. You get afraid, you have a health scare, you consult Dr. Google. You think that by solving things with that problem-solving machine between your ears, you're gonna find your way out. Fine, you could do that a little bit, but balance it with this. Remember what a child does. When a child's afraid, a child doesn't look for solutions. A child looks for mom and dad. Where are they? They are my safety. And I think of those motherly words of Mary. Am I not here? I who am your mother. Is there anything else that you need? Guys, rest in the fact that nothing should scare you, ultimately, nothing sharp, nothing hurtful, because your Father loves you, and so does your Blessed Mother. But number three, to finish where I started, he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself will be humbled. Listen, if you're concerned about the problems in the world, don't try to fix the whole world. Focus on what's in front of you. Guys, the more time you spend outside your sphere of influence, the less power you have in it. And I think in our proud thinking, we try to take on all the problems in the world. We tackle the internet. We just tackle it all, thinking we're going to make a difference, when in fact, we can only act on the things we're learning in the news for 4 or 5 minutes every 4 years as we vote, and then it's over. And the devil wants you to be upset all the time about things you could do nothing about. Be humble. Look for what's under your actual sphere of influence, what's in front of you, and try to make a difference, loving the people right there. Mother Teresa once reflected on how there's only one. There's only one person. It's the one that Jesus sends to you. It's the one that's in front of you right now to love. And ultimately, that person is God. That person is Jesus. That person in need before you. And she had that humble, simple focus, and by it, she changed the world. Guys, everyone who's truly great focuses on what's in front of them, the sphere of influence that's right in their lives, and they love and care for and invest in the people right there. Look, if you feel like a nobody, don't despair. Embrace that. Lean in. Or if you want to make a difference, your temptation is to, quote, become a somebody, be a big deal. No. Think small. Think little. Think, how can I love the person right here, right in front of me, in the way that's unseen? And then maybe God will raise you up like he did Juan Diego, who his canonization was the largest gathering in human history, with 12 million people lining the streets of Mexico City as John Paul II rode in to canonize Juan Diego. Whoa. But guys, even if this world never sees it, Almighty God will. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Juan Diego, pray for us. Amen. Hey, sister.
Te doy un abrazo por querer tanto a mi México.
Sí. God bless you.
Muchas gracias por querer a mi México.
I have no idea what you just said, but you're beautiful.
You know.
Say hi to my friend. God bless you. God bless you guys. Okay, just got done filming the video, and a friend just approached me. And talk about serving who's in front of you. What are you doing?
Prison ministry.
OCIA?
Every Sunday, 5 hours, I do a communion service, OCIA. And we're up to 9 guys. This is our record this year. We had 5 and 5 the year before.
Praise God. And also watching the Real Life Catholic show in there?
And watching Real Life Catholic.
With the inmates.
Everyone. We've seen the Cranberry episode. That's
awesome.
New Mexico.
And the inmates dig it.
The balloons.
That's awesome.
They do.
But dude, you want to change the world? Stop thinking all big. Just start prison ministry. Like, ask the Lord, what's under my nose that I could do right now? And then you'd be a world changer. All right, Let's go in. I'm going to show you the ongoing miracle of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Hundred years later, it looks exactly like it did when Juan Diego opened his cloak.
Hallelujah.